You know, it's funny. I was just thinking the other day, like, remember when you'd ask an AI to like write you a poem or something just to see if it could, you know?
Right.
Now I'm using them to argue with my insurance company.
Oh, really?
And winning.
Wow.
These AI tools are getting seriously good at like sounding human, you know?
It's true. The lines are definitely blurring. Yeah. And that's precisely what makes this OpenAI report so unsettling. they've confirmed that ChatGPT, their own creation,
right,
is being actively used for malicious purposes. We're not talking about hypotheticals here, but confirmed cases of cyber attacks.
So not just writing grocery lists anymore, huh?
Right.
This is the same ChatGPT that can, like, draft a legal document.
Yeah.
But it's also writing code for malware.
It's both impressive and concerning, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's fascinating, though, is that this report isn't just about the what. It's about understanding the how and the implications for cybersecurity as a whole.
All right, let's dive into the specifics then. What exactly did OpenAI uncover? Hit us with the highlights.
So in just the past year, they've had to shut down over 20 cyber operations where ChatGPT was like a key player.
Wow.
Hackers are using it to write the actual malware code, make that malware harder to detect.
Okay.
And even to craft those like really convincing phishing emails we've all seen.
See, I'm glad you brought up phishing because that feels very real world.
Yeah.
Even for someone like me who's not exactly building firewalls in their spare time.
Right.
But I can't imagine this is a total surprise, right? Has this been brewing for a while?
You're right. This isn't coming out of nowhere. Earlier this year, the cybersecurity firm Proofpoint identified a group called Scully Spider using AI written code in their attacks. They were spreading something called the Rhadamanthes Info Stealer.
Scully Spider. Now, that's just asking for a movie deal. But seriously.
Right.
This Rhadamanthes thing, that's all about stealing your personal data.
Precisely. Names aside, it was an early example of how threat actors were starting to leverage AI.
Uh-huh.
Then later, HP Wolf Security found evidence of another group, this one targeting users in France, using AI to write code for even more complex malware.
Mm-hmm.
These early cases were a sign of things to come, and OpenAI's report confirms this wasn't just a like a blip on the radar,
right.
It's a pattern, and it's escalating.
A pattern with some pretty big names involved, too. From what I understand, weren't there Chinese and Iranian groups specifically mentioned in the report?
There were, and each case reveals a lot about how these tools are being used. One group, Sweet Spectre, has been on cybersecurity experts' radar for some time. They're believed to be based in China and have a history of targeting governments across Asia.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say they weren't using ChatGPT to translate diplomatic messages?
Not quite.
Okay.
OpenAI discovered they were using it to scan for vulnerabilities in widely used software and even exploit a particularly nasty flaw in something called Log4j.
Log4j, for those of us who don't speak fluent tech.
It's basically a building block that a ton of websites and applications use.
Yeah.
Think of it as a foundation.
Yeah.
If it's got cracks, the whole thing can come crumbling down.
Right.
Sweet Spectre used ChatGPT to find those cracks.
So they were using AI to essentially find the weak spots in the armor, just like that Scully Spider group.
Mm.
But here's what gets me, Tag. They went after OpenAI itself.
Right.
Talk about adding insult to injury.
It's almost ironic, isn't it? They launched a phishing campaign targeting OpenAI employees with fake support requests.
Oh, wow.
If an employee clipped, boom, their computer was infected.
Hold on. They used AI to attack the creators of AI.
Mm-hmm.
That's some next level stuff right there.
It speaks to how these groups operate. They're adaptable and quick to exploit new technologies. But what's concerning is if a group like that can target OpenAI,
right.
Imagine what they could do to businesses and organizations with less robust security measures in place.
That's a chilling thought. It's like they're playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers.
And it's not just about the sophistication,
right.
But the sheer variety of ways they're using AI. We're seeing it used across the entire attack chain, from the initial reconnaissance
right.
to covering their tracks after the damage is done.
Okay, so we've got these groups. They're using AI to become cyber ninjas, basically. Mm-hmm. But what about the attacks themselves?
Right.
What are they doing with this AI-powered malware? Can you give us some concrete examples?
Absolutely. Let's talk about cyber avatringers. This group is believed to be linked to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps.
Okay.
And they have a history of going after high-stakes targets, industrial systems like power grids, water treatment plants, that sort of thing.
Okay, so we're not talking about stealing your Spotify password here.
Yeah.
These guys mean business. What were they using ChatGPT for?
They were very interested in something called programmable logic controllers, or PLCs for short.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that's not what DJs use at a rave.
You're right. Definitely not a party trick. Mm. PLCs are the brains behind a lot of industrial equipment. Mm-hmm. They control how things operate. And CyberF3 engineers used ChatGPT to find and exploit vulnerabilities in these systems.
So again, using AI to find the chinks in the armor, but going after a power grid, that's a whole other level.
And this is where it gets even more unnerving. They weren't just looking for vulnerabilities. Mm-hmm. CyberF3 engineers used ChatGPT to write code for malware that specifically targeted macOS systems, the operating system most Apple computers use.
So much for Apple's legendary security. Mm-hmm. But I'm still stuck on this idea of AI making it easy. Is it really that simple? Like, could I, with my limited tech skills, suddenly become a cyber criminal mastermind thanks to ChatGPT?
Well, you might not be building a digital Death Star overnight, but these tools lower the bar for entry.
Right.
Imagine a tool that not only helps you write malicious code,
right,
but also helps you debug it,
yeah,
translate it into different programming languages.
Wow.
Even disguise it so it's harder to detect.
Okay, that's a thought I could have gone without. It's like giving a novice baker a super-powered easy-bake oven and expecting them not to burn down the kitchen. But let's talk about another example, because I have a feeling this rabbit hole goes even deeper.
Oh, it definitely does. Let's move on to Storm0817.
Okay.
This group was heavily reliant on ChatGPT for their malware development, using it for everything from debugging code to building the infrastructure to control that malware remotely. They even use it to translate LinkedIn profiles of cybersecurity professionals.
Hey, hold on. They were using AI to spy on the very people trying to stop them. That's just diabolical.
It highlights their resourcefulness and how they're finding new, unexpected ways to leverage these tools. The Storm0817 case is especially interesting because of a specific detail in the report. They hosted their command and control infrastructure on a WAMP server.
Now, I'm going to need you to break that down for me and everyone else who didn't just graduate from MIT. What's so special about a WAMP server?
Think of a WAMP server like a pre-built apartment building for websites. It's a popular choice, easy to set up, ready to go.
Right.
Storm0817 essentially broke into this apartment building, likely one that was already compromised, and set up shop to remotely control their malware from within.
So not only are they creating potent malware with AI's help, but they're also being incredibly stealthy about controlling it. It's like learning they planned the heist using ChatGPT and then found their hideout on Airbnb Wild.
And that's why this OpenAI report is such a wake-up call. It's not about a few isolated groups using AI. We're talking about a fundamental shift in the cybersecurity landscape as a whole.
Okay, so we've established this is bad, really bad. But let's bring it back to our listeners. How does all of this impact the average person listening to this right now?
Mm-hmm.
What's the takeaway here? What should they be doing to protect themselves?
Those are the million-dollar questions, yeah, and they deserve more than just a quick answer.
Right.
The implications here are far-reaching, and understanding them is the first step in navigating this new world where AI can be both a helpful tool and a dangerous weapon.
All right, so we're back. And honestly, after that last segment, I'm a little afraid to open my laptop. We've talked about cyber ninjas and digital Death Stars. It's a lot to process.
It is.
But you're right. Let's dig into those million-dollar questions.
Okay.
How does this impact the average person? What's the takeaway for our listeners?
I think the most important takeaway is that the threat landscape is changing. And quickly.
Okay.
It's not just about having strong passwords anymore.
Right.
AI is lowering the barrier to entry for cyber criminals.
Right.
You don't need to be a coding genius to potentially launch a pretty sophisticated attack.
So more attacks, sneakier attacks. It feels like we're trying to fight off a drone army with a rusty old tennis racket.
Right.
What can we even do? Should we all just switch to carrier pigeons and be done with it?
I wouldn't go that far.
Okay.
But it does highlight the need for new approaches to cybersecurity.
Cool.
Traditional methods like antivirus software may not be enough.
Okay.
We need to be thinking about AI-powered defenses, systems that can learn and adapt to these new threats as quickly as they emerge.
So it's a cyber arms race then?
Yeah.
The good AI versus the bad AI. Is that what we're looking at?
In a way, yes.
Okay.
But it's not just about technology.
Right.
It's also about awareness.
Okay.
The more people understand about these evolving threats, the better equipped they'll be to spot them and protect themselves.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's talk practical steps.
Mm-hmm.
What can our listeners do right now to up their defenses in this brave new world of AI-powered attacks?
The basics still hold true.
Okay.
But with renewed importance.
Right.
Think of it like this. If cyber criminals are using AI to up their game, we need to up ours too.
All right. So what does that look like? Give us the rundown.
First and foremost, be incredibly cautious about what you click on in emails and online.
Okay.
Phishing emails are getting more sophisticated,
right.
Often using AI to mimic legitimate sources.
Yeah.
If something seems off even slightly,
right.
Don't risk it.
So trust your gut, even if that email looks like it's from your bank or your favorite online store.
Exactly. And speaking of online stores, be very cautious about websites asking for personal information.
Right.
Make sure they're legitimate, especially if you're making a purchase.
Right.
Look for those security indicators, like the HTTPS and the URL and the little padlock icon.
It's amazing how easy it is to overlook those little things, but you're right, they're crucial.
They are, and they can save you a world of trouble.
Yeah.
Another simple but often overlooked step is keeping your software up to date.
Right.
Those updates may seem annoying, but they often include critical security patches that can prevent attacks.
So don't hit remind me later when that update pops up.
Right.
Take the time, do it right then and there.
Precisely.
Okay.
And beyond these individual steps, we need to be thinking about this on a broader societal level.
Yeah.
We need to be investing in education and training programs so that people understand these threats and how to mitigate them.
Because it's not just about individuals protecting themselves. It's about protecting our businesses,
mm-hmm.
our infrastructure, mm-hmm. really our way of life, right?
Absolutely. And it circles back to what we were discussing earlier about AI-powered defurfas.
Right.
We need to be developing and deploying more sophisticated security tools that can identify and neutralize these threats before they can do any damage.
Right, like having a digital bodyguard that's always one mm-hmm. step ahead.
Exactly.
But, and maybe this is me being overly cautious, is there a risk that by developing these super smart defenses,
mm-hmm.
we're also giving the bad guys even better tools to work with?
Sure.
I mean, it feels like we're walking a tightrope here.
It's a valid concern.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the double-edged sword of AI.
Right.
As these technologies advance, so too does the potential for misuse.
Right.
That's why it's not just about building bigger, stronger digital walls.
Right.
But also about fostering a culture of cybersecurity awareness and responsibility.
So it's not just about the technology itself, but how we choose to use it.
Exactly. Think about those examples we discussed earlier.
Right.
Like cyber aftrangers targeting industrial control systems.
Right.
These are incredibly complex systems that impact essential services.
Yeah.
We need to be thinking about how to protect these critical infrastructures in a world where AI is being weaponized.
And that brings us to the big, somewhat terrifying question.
Mm-hmm.
What does the future hold? Are we headed for a cyber dystopia where AI-powered attacks are an everyday occurrence?
Right.
Or is there hope that we can stay one step ahead?
That is the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there are no easy answers.
Right.
It's a future we're actively shaping with every decision we make,
yeah.
every technology we develop, and every safeguard we put in place.
Okay.
But by understanding the stakes, we can start to have more informed conversations and make more strategic decisions about how we navigate this complex landscape.
You've given us a lot to think about, that's for sure.
Sure.
This isn't just about updating your antivirus software. It's about understanding a fundamental shift in how we approach cybersecurity in an age of increasingly sophisticated AI. So we've covered the threats, the players,
yeah.
and even touched on the potential for a cyber dystopia, fun times.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, it's not about dwelling on the doom and gloom.
Right.
It's about understanding the challenges so we can find solutions.
Exactly.
Where do we go from here? What does it mean to build a future where AI is used responsibly, especially when it comes to cybersecurity?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's a multifaceted challenge, and it requires a multifaceted approach. We need to be thinking about this on multiple levels, individual, organizational, even global.
Okay, so let's break that down. What can we do at each of those levels to tip the scales in favor of the good guys, so to speak?
Well, at the individual level, it starts with education and awareness.
Okay.
We've talked about practical steps like being wary of phishing emails and keeping your software updated.
Right.
But it goes beyond that. It's about being mindful of your digital footprint.
Right.
Understanding how your data can be used and potentially misused.
Okay.
And advocating for stronger privacy protections.
Right. Because in the age of AI, knowledge really is power. But what about the organizations developing these powerful AI tools in the first place? What's their role in all of this?
Oh, they have a massive responsibility. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
They need to be prioritizing ethical considerations at every stage of development.
Right.
This means building in safeguards, conducting rigorous testing, and being transparent about potential risks.
It's like that old saying, with great power comes great responsibility.
Right.
But knowing human nature, I think it's safe to say we can't rely solely on good intentions. What about regulations? Is there a role for governments to play in all of this?
Absolutely. We need strong regulations and international collaboration to establish guidelines for the development and use of AI.
Okay.
This includes things like defining ethical boundaries, promoting responsible innovation, and establishing mechanisms for accountability.
So it's not just about building the best AI. It's about using it in a way that benefits humanity, not harms it.
Exactly.
That requires a global conversation, wouldn't you say?
Without a doubt. This is not a problem any one country can solve on its own. We need international cooperation to address the global challenges posed by AI, including the risks it poses to cybersecurity.
So where does that leave us? It's clear there's no easy fix, no magic wand we can wave to make this all go away. But there's hope, right?
There's always hope. The fact that we're having these conversations, that we're raising awareness about these issues, that's a step in the right direction. We need to approach this with a balance of caution and optimism. We need to be aware of the risks, but also open to the possibilities.
That feels like the perfect note to end on, a call to action. It's not just about being afraid of the dark side of AI, but about shining a light on it, understanding it, and working together to create a safer, more secure future for everyone.
Well said. It's a journey, not a destination. And like any journey, it's about taking it one step at a time.
And on that note, we'll leave you to ponder these big questions. As always, thank you for joining us for this deep dive. If you're as fascinated by the world of AI as we are, be sure to check out our show notes for more information and resources. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay safe.